leather helmets and no face masks, and hence that explains what you're seeing in front of you here. As David said at the outset of this evening, Leanne, and you need to know this name, my wife, Leanne, where is she? Sitting here in the back, and I were the first team leaders in Kenya. We arrived there in July of 1990. And at the time, anticipating that we would need a little bit of assistance, and me being the generous husband and non-kitchen cleaner that I am, I thought that perhaps we could get a cook and assistant. So we went to the Dean Mengich and asked him if he could help us identify an individual who might come help us. And a few days later, this very meek, beautiful 25-ish-year-old woman showed up. Her name is Penina. How many of you have met Penina? Okay. I'll probably tell you a story here that most of you have not heard about her. Wonderful young lady, had two sons and was married at the time, and this was in, again, July of 1990. About 3 or 4 months later, my wife, again, we were there with three children, noticed that Penina was pregnant. And I don't know about the women here in the room, but you know, we men, we tend not to be attentive to such things. My wife, who's a bit more fertile perhaps than some of you, is a bit more attuned to this. Fertile and no self-control, David. So what she said to Penina, "Penina, why didn't you tell us you were pregnant?" And Penina said, "Well, I thought you would fire me. You know, getting jobs in Kenya are very, very difficult, and if you have a chance to work with a mzungu, that's what those of us who have white faces are called, this is a real plum." Well, of course, Leanne was not about to fire her. We loved Penina at that point. Penina's pregnancy progressed just fine, and she delivered. It turns out that she had twins. It was a complicated delivery. We didn't have Claire there, she required a cesarean section. Supplies were in short supply there. She was essentially delivered with no anesthesia, and she delivered two babies. The first one she named Lee, and the second one she named Anne. A few days later, she was home. I went to visit Penina and her babies, Lee and Anne, and I noticed that Lee was, if you will, the runt of the litter, was failing to thrive. Fortunately, at the time, we had a pediatrician. Penina, though sophisticated in her culture, was not particularly sophisticated about taking care of twins. She wasn't particularly sophisticated even about American culture. Our 5-year-old son at the time tried to teach her checkers. And Leanne came home one evening, and Robbie, our son, turned to her and said, "She just doesn't get it." At any rate, we were concerned that she just didn't get how to raise twins. Fortunately, Lorraine Kelly, some of you may know Lorraine, was at IU House at the time, a pediatrician in her own right. And so we leaned on Lorraine. And if you know Lorraine, like some of us, she has this heart of gold, but she has some hard edges sometimes. She comes across a little bit harsh. So we asked her to come and talk to Penina. And she was wonderful. She talked to Penina, taught her how to care for these twins, and we thought everything was just great. Well, a few days later, Leanne and I and the kids went to Nairobi. We came back, and lo and behold, we were met by a couple of the residents who were there, and they said, Penina's baby is in the hospital. And we thought it was Lee, the runt of the litter. In fact, it wasn't. It was Anne. And again, for those of you in the medical profession, you know how hard it is to get IV started in these little guys, but fortunately, Larry Bourne, now a gastroenterologist here in this town, got an IV started on this little tyke and did a wonderful, heroic job, if you will, to bring this to try to bring this little kid to life. Unfortunately, it failed. Anne died, and Lee, back at home, the run to the liver we thought was going to follow. Fortunately, she didn't. She thrived. She lived. She grew to be an adolescent with all the joys and unfortunate tragedies of adolescence that all of us who have had adolescence have, and she went through all of that. She still survives today. Her mother hasn't killed her. And she's doing great. Panina continues to work at IU House. Those of you who have been there have profited from her cooking. She never quite mastered French cuisine, but if you ask her to fix anything that's African, it's a masterpiece, and she does a terrific job there. And as I think about the now couple thousand Hoosiers and North Americans who have passed through AMPATH, I recognize that Panina has fed every last one of them. Those Americans, now in partnership with thousands of our Kenyan colleagues, have gone on to feed, with partnership with Purdue, Dow AgroSciences, and others, have gone on to feed tens of thousands, millions, if you will, of our Kenyan colleagues. And so, for me, when I have dinner with my son, my daughter, my wife, we go around the table and we say what we're thankful for, and almost always I think of Panina, and I will often say, I'm thankful for the cook. Thanks.
Okay, we're just getting warmed up. We're going to take a 15-minute intermission and then come back, which means at 8:30. Time to top off.